lonely sitting here watching the world go by. It'd be nice to have somebody to talk to.
Wonder Woman calling Super Friends.
A friend, a patriot, a teammate.
I think it's best if we team up.
I say we go for it.
Yes!
Show me a superhero worth their salt.
Hang on, guys. I'm gonna save you no matter what it takes.
And I'll show you a support network of friends standing behind them.
United, we're invincible!
Good going, Johnny.
Whether it's the Sailor Scouts, or the Super Friends, or the Dragon Ball heroes.
What a team!
Everybody needs a helping hand.
Hang on.
Even the bad guys know a thing or two about teamwork. We all get by with a little help from our friends.
And we can all be Super Friends.
Welcome to Checkered Childhood, a classic Cartoon Network podcast covering many, many years of Cartoon Network's history.
I'm Funky. I'm Fred.
Hi, the Powerpuff Girls.
Hi. Not now, boy. I'm busy. Tonight's the third night.
Hold on a sec. I'm getting an incoming transmission. One serving up anime TV of the likes I've never seen before. Welcome, Toonheads, to Checkered Childhood, a classic Cartoon Network podcast covering the 90s and early 2000s of its checkered history. I'm your host, B-Dubs. Today we're visiting Moltar at his ghost planet control room to watch some 90s anime and some other unusual cartoons that he's gathered around the galaxy. You guessed it. We're talking all about Toonami's formative years and how it shaped the variety of content Cartoon Network offered forever. Although I do want to caution you that we're just going to be covering Moltar's era of Toonami for today. But don't worry, Tom will definitely make an appearance down the road, as he's got plenty of content to cover. Brief era overview, just so you know where we stand. The Moltar era was basically from 1997 to 1999. And then we move into the various Tom eras, where the first Tom era was 99 to 2000. Tom 2 was 2000 to 2003. Tom 3 was 2003 to 2007. Tom 4 was 2007 to 2008, which prompted its cancellation. And then there's a weird 3.5 era from 2012 to 2023, where Tom 5 emerged from 2013 to 2019, and now we have Tom 6 from 2019 to the present, as far as I know. That's a lot of Toonami, man. But enough of that. We've got more action-packed cartoons coming in. Let's launch our probe, Clyde 49, out to Earth, and get a clear picture on what this Toonami thing is all about. Unexpected Origins. In an effort to stay competitive with other kids' network channels like Nickelodeon and Fox Kids featuring their uniquely branded cartoon programming blocks, Cartoon Network executive Mike Lazo wanted to create his own centered around action-packed animation that could give viewers a unique taste of their content. Lazo, who spearheaded the development of Space Ghost Coast to Coast, connected with Sean Atkins, who would in turn rope in his friend Jason DeMarco to develop the content for this upcoming program idea. DeMarco and Atkins loved watching anime growing up, but found it frustrating that it was hard to find on TV. They also felt the need to introduce these international cartoons to a Western audience, but could risk alienating them further, as it's not something they were used to just as Cartoon Network was forming its identity around this time. Bit by bit, they formed the concept. Creative Michael Cahill lent his talents to the project by adding in trendy skating footage, untranslated anime clips from video stores, and new types of underground lo-fi music beats to create a unique tone that would set it apart from anything done on the channel before. So far so good, but Atkins and DeMarco still needed a host for the programming block. Initially, they considered an anime girl paired with an AI bot, but trying to achieve that at the time, 30 years ago, was just financially out of the question, as it would take too much time, energy, and resources to animate both from scratch. But in a clever shift, the duo would return to Lazo to pick Moltar as the host, which keeps things much simpler, with no facial expression to animate, and a streamlined body to bring life into. With the tone, the name, and the host all in place, Toonami was finally ready for launch.
Get ready for a power trip.
Toonami Era 1 Overview. Toonami, forged by combining the words cartoon and tsunami, first premiered on March 17, 1997. Hey, it's St. Patrick's Day. Replacing the short-lived Power Zone as an afternoon action center programming block. The first iteration was hosted by Moltar, formerly from Space Ghost Coast to Coast, as director and supervillain from the Hanna-Barbera Space Ghost cartoons too. In this sort of spin-off series, Moltar was elevated from his underground side character to show producer. Typically, his segments would revolve around him commenting on the shows to come that appear on his monitor and control panel, which comprised of footage from its source material. The startup era's intro involved a new and improved CGI Moltar too, inside his lair examining a green heads-up display on his control panel. The very first Toonami era's intro involved a new and improved CGI Moltar inside his lair examining a green HUD on his control panel, or heads-up display. He would then launch a quirky probe character named Clyde 49 out of a massive cannon sticking out of the Ghost Planet Industries building into space, later crash-landing on Earth. Clyde 49 sometimes would be seen relaxing on a beach chair on the shore as our logo on top of those TV broadcast bars you're used to seeing with the tone would show. Programming times for Toonami started in the afternoons from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and was later moved to Saturday nights 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. First programs aired under Toonami's programming block in 97 began with just four shows, an edited version of Voltron, Thundercats, The Real Adventures of Johnny Quest, which was a 90s reimagining of the classic Hanna-Barbera series, and Cartoon Roulette, a randomizer featuring even more lesser-known Hanna-Barbera cartoon shows, plus a Max Fleischer animated Superman series from the 1940s in the mix. As Toonami gained steady attention, other shows were added to the Moltar-era roster. Anime added to the schedule in 1998 include Robotech, Sailor Moon, Dragon Ball Z, with American shows Beast Wars Transformers, and Super Friends rounding things off. Shows added in 1999 to the roster included Reboot, The Powerpuff Girls, which was a first for Cartoon Network originals, and Ronin Warriors. To spice things up, movies were soon added to the roster to further expand upon the popular series as it gained traction, and just show young viewers things they hadn't seen before as the variety continued. A list of movies added in 1999 to Toonami included Batman Mask of the Phantasm, Batman and Mr. Freeze Sub-Zero, which was related to the Batman and Robin movie, Johnny Quest vs. the Cyber Insects, and three Dragon Ball Z movies, Dragon Ball Z Tree of Might, The World's Strongest, and Dead Zone. To top things off, marathons were introduced for fans who wanted nothing but their favorites back-to-back for limited events. In 1999, the Sailor Moon Marathon was held to celebrate the lunar eclipse, while following in the same year, DBX 20XL consisted of a week of Dragon Ball Z episodes during the Toonami afternoon blocks. Holy anime, that is a lot! Moltar was a man of many talents during his initial Toonami era. He wasn't simply a character to fill space between shows, but an entertainer for kids who wanted to consume extreme alternative content on the cutting edge. I mean, just look at him. He's CGI. He wasn't hand-drawn because that was all the rage at the time when Sony PlayStation and Nintendo 64 were taking over kids' living rooms and bedrooms. In some instances, Moltar would comment on the shows to be shown through his dry wit during bumpers or before a show started. But in rare occurrences, he'd even review a few 90s console video games, speak of the devil, such as Final Fantasy VII and Cool Borders 2 for PlayStation 1, which would lay the groundwork for Tom and his game reviews for future console generations. Remember that one when you did Guitar Hero? That was a good time.
Bottom line, Toonami gives Final Fantasy VII 5 out of 5, as close to perfect as it gets. This is the one by which all other RPGs will be judged. A must-have for any self-respecting gamer. Take it from us, but leave the hype. I'm out of here.
In his downtime, Moltar would root for certain heroes and villains of his programming block shows, or just simply poke fun at Space Ghost or Birdman as a nod to his roots, which I personally love. These little moments of personality kept the block feeling fresh and alive, and like he was a real character that wanted to speak to you, rather than just simply content filling space. By this time, animator and voice talent Clay Martin Croker, the man behind the Moltar persona we all know and love from Space Ghost Coast to Coast, was losing interest in the programming block concept. So creators Sean Atkins and Jason DeMarco chose to explore other avenues, which involved them replacing the Space Ghost villain with a more streamlined original character, Tom, in 1999, along with changing the location from Ghost Planet Industries to a large gun-shaped spaceship, the Absolution. Tom 1, voiced by Sonny Strait, marks the shift in the retiring Toonami's first host. And here I have a quote to reflect their transition.
So it's a brand new Toonami, but the mission objectives remain the same. My name is Tom. I'm the new Moltar. Welcome aboard the Ghost Planet Spaceship Absolution, Cartoon Network's first and only interstellar broadcast and exploration vehicle. I'll give you the tour later. From this day forward, she is completely responsible for all Toonami transmissions. I'm taking you guys into the new millennium. No big changes now, same show, same attitude. New place to do it, new guy to do it with. I'm not gonna waste any more time, let's get back into it. Later.
With the changing of the guard, the Moltar era officially ended on July 10th, 1999, just after 2 years of running. 17 years later, the sudden death of Clay Martin Croker sent shockwaves among the community of longtime viewers in 2016, many of which were also fans of his voice work in Space Ghost Coast to Coast. Toonami responded by showing a tribute to the legend in a special transmission segment lasting a full minute. It pays homage to the original host and is actually quite touching for fans of Toonami, both old and young, as we see Tom 5 remember him fondly.
Tom?
Yo, what's up?
We have an incoming transmission from Moltar.
Moltar? Wow, haven't heard from him in a dog's age. What's going on with him?
Well, it's very garbled. I can't seem to decipher all of it.
All right, listen up. Toonami.
Dang.
But here's what I got. Hey, Tom, I've been called back to Moltar, and I won't be coming back. There's a mighty oven waiting for me. Just wanted you to know, I always thought I was a better Toonami host than you. Good luck never being able to fill my boots, sucker.
Oh, man. He always did know how to push my buttons.
End message.
Well, fairly well, buddy. May your oven stay forever lit.
As a fun little bit of trivia, Moltar and Clive 49 actually made a cameo appearance in issue 13 of the DC Comics series Cartoon Network Presents to talk about Toonami as sort of like a mini story slash ad. The comic book arrived on store shelves in August of 1998. Other Toonami comics of the series in this era include issues 5, 9, 17, and 21. Have you read any of them or seen them in the wild? Let me know. I'd love to hear about your experiences reading them. So what are my memories of Moltar's Toonami era? I mean, I have quite a bit, as this was the one I definitely tuned into after school. My friend Max and I used to love watching Sailor Moon because the theme song was super catchy and we loved the transformation sequences of the characters. And my brother and I loved watching Dragon Ball Z. I mean, something about the theme song with the hard, chunky rock riffs and seeing a giant dragon grant them wishes and fighting strong enemies, it just got us really pumped up to engage in the story throughout all the different sagas the show had to offer. And on my own, I actually watched The Real Adventures of Johnny Quest because while I wasn't familiar with the Hanna-Barbera version, the 3D version that appeared in the 90s introduced me to the older one, and I thought it was really cool to learn more about the character through the new material. Plus, you know, it was interesting enough with the 3D segments because it is a little bit 2D as well. And I do remember the villain who is stuck in the wheelchair did creep me out a bit. And I think there's like two different versions of him too. I'd have to revisit that for an episode. But do you guys remember watching The Real Adventures of Johnny Quest? And of course, I liked watching the Superman cartoons, the 1940s Max Fleischer ones. He's actually responsible for classics like Betty Boop, Popeye, and the Out of the Inkwell series featuring Coco the Clown and his dog Fitz. And I know most of you have no idea what I'm talking about, but for those who are familiar with animation history, you'll appreciate all that being shown to younger audiences. I think it had very fluid animation, and it's worth checking out, even if you're just curious. So why do the first years of Toonami matter? Well, without the first era, we wouldn't have all the other eras that would come after. You gotta start somewhere. But in all seriousness, Moltar's era of Toonami should not be left forgotten among the sands of time. It bridged the gap between the older Cartoon Network audience with newer, younger viewers in the 90s who were interested in edgier, action-packed cartoons from both the East and the West. His efforts laid the groundwork and would 100% pave the way for Tom and his various iterations to do more and captivate its more mature audience as time went on. You could argue that video game reviews may have stemmed from year two, becoming highly prevalent in the 2000s and beyond on TV with channels like G4 emerging in 2003, and later reviews showing up all over YouTube. I mean, there's a gaming section there now. They had to start from somewhere. For all it's worth, it's nice to see a seemingly obscure 1960s Hanna-Barbera character turned fringe adult anime talk show host, whatever, renewed with a sense of purpose and a fresh coat of CGI. So I'm happy that they're able to remix this into something truly unique and special. So with Toonami, the first era covered, what shows and segments did you enjoy most and least about its original run? If you'd like to share your thoughts with me on the matter, either comment on YouTube or send me an email at checkerchildhood@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. You can also rate and review this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or basically wherever else it shows up on your podcast platforms of choice. If you do rate and review me, I'll definitely share with our fellow listeners in a future episode, just so that others know that we're listening too. All right. Tune in next time when we visit Erin City and avoid being beat up by a myriad of women, when we talk about my favorite Johnny Bravo episodes from season one. Which ones do you think will stand out to the most in the next episode? You just have to tune in to find out for sure. Hey, I just want to let you know that it means a lot to me that you're willing to listen to this little nostalgia show of mine, no matter what obscure Cartoon Network topics we cover. Let's get together like best friends and do it again real soon. Until then, I think I better check in with my pro buddy, Clive49, to see if he has any reports on new tunes on Earth. Let's say you, Clive49. Any more anime to watch? Have a tunerific day. B-dubs out.
Tell the jokes, wise guy.
Building a better world, 1/2 hour at a time. Only tonight.